Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be. Listen to us. Thanks so much for taking part of your day in the iHeartRadio app, Fox Sports Radio, Sirius XM as well. Doug Gottlieb in for Colin, live from Los Angeles. Cowherd somewhere mountainous. I saw a post on Instagram. So I was trying to figure out. It did not look like the typical Utah background, but did look beautiful. Lush, a little windswept. I don't know. Do you guys ever do that where you're trying? Somebody doesn't do a location thing. You're trying to go like, where is that person? I like that. Colin will be back on Monday. We all have our working theories. By the way, we started a little bit of a. Here's what I'll do. I'll tease ahead to something. Okay, so last night I'm playing in an adult men's league, and you know, look, there's one rule to parenting a daughter, which is keep your daughter off the stripper pole, right? That's a rule. There's one rule to playing adult pickup. Do you know what that rule is? Don't get hurt, right? That's the rule. If no one gets hurt, nobody cares. You miss, like, don't keep shooting if you're throwing up stones or whatever, or leaving a guy wide open when he's making shots. But generally, the number one rule is don't get hurt. I violated that rule last night. I've never been hurt. You know, I had like a hamstring sciatic thing when I was a sophomore in high school. I had some sort of pulled in the very deep part of my hamstring that they thought was a knee my senior year in college for a couple games, but nothing. Never been operated on, never been out, never had a bad ankle sprain, like just knock wood, very fortunate. Low to the ground, low center of gravity maybe. But for whatever reason, like, you know, never heard. So I felt a pop, felt like my left foot planted, and in like a twisting motion. It's classic like lateral meniscus LCL. I thought it was an ACL. It still may be. I don't know. My knee's all swollen up. But it's not the classic like dad injury. And if you've ever had the dad injury, it's like, well, I moved some stuff on a Saturday and Sunday I woke up and I couldn't move because my back, you know, or you ever pop a rib out coughing? Or yawning is worse. Like coughing is legit, like I'm sick. Yawning is just I'm lazy and I'm tired and I yawned. And then all of a sudden, like, you're like, oh, I got a rib out. Right? Okay. So we offered up on Twitter at Gottlieb Show your best, worst, whatever dad injury story. Ryan Music, you want to give me just one before I get to this Steph Curry quote from out in Tahoe? Can you give me a running, here's a really good one, go.
Well, we have two from two different people in the same vein of how you sustained your injuries. This one seems like a common thread, which is torn Achilles playing pickup basketball.
Yeah, well, look, and I violated that. There's a good rule of thumb with playing, which I think I violated. Like, I've been playing, but I'm probably about, I'm going to gently say 5 to 7 pounds above my playing weight. Like one of the biggest mistake I think guys make, and I probably made this mistake, was like, be very careful. If you're like 10, 15 pounds over what your body's normally used to, like, yeah, that is your, it's not going to react as well with the amount of force and pressure. Right? Like guys like, well, I got to lose weight, so I got to play basketball. Like, nah, go lose weight first before you start playing basketball. So I'd say that's why guys popping Achilles or, I'll do what I did with my knee. That's that. All right, let's get to this. So, out of Lake Tahoe, they have the Pro-Am. It's like the biggest, best celebrity golf event that there is. And Steph's a very good golfer, and he's one of the favorites sort of to win out there. But he was asked about the Warriors this upcoming season. Quote, "It's a great position to be in, knowing we're trying to retool and that level we're trying to get back to. we do have a lot to work with potential picks, guys coming back, hopefully enticing some free agents to come out to the Bay and be part of a winning organization. How we do things. I feel like everything's on the table at this point. There's a lot of time before the draft, before training camp and free agency period. So, like, look, do I think that Steph Curry's going to come out and go like, hey, I want to go to the Lakers? No. But do I think that his statement would have been this statement if he wasn't all in on the Warriors? No, of course not. He's all in on the Warriors. He's not going anywhere. And I would also guess, like, look, there were stories out of Brooklyn last year that all of those guys knew. They just unequivocally knew that Kevin Durant was going to be back and as good or better than ever. Why? Because they had seen him playing. They had seen him work out. And so they knew what level he was going to get to. My guess is that because Steph is with Klay, around Klay, he truly believes Klay will be back and will be fine. And maybe he is. Like, it's a lot to come back from, not just the Achilles, but the knee as well. But in a similar way to Kevin Durant, it's not like he was Ja Morant before he got hurt. You know, like, his game is not all quick twitch, explosive. He's very good at both ends, but it's not like he's a super quick twitch guy. So losing that does not necessarily mean his game will suffer that greatly. But I do think it's interesting. Like, how do you balance that out if you're the Warriors? James Wiseman wasn't great, you know, wasn't the best rookie. But keep in mind, you had no training camp, a guy who played 3 college games. He's going to take, if he has any sort of work ethic, he's going to take a massive jump from year 1 to year 2. And then you have the Kelly Oubres to move, 2 first-round picks to move. You have the possibility to be, you know, who else can you move? Will you move Andrew Wiggins? You know, Wig was really good for them as their 3rd best player, right? Or 3rd best scorer. Do you retool and you say, hey, we're going to run it back with Draymond Green? Or do you say, hey, Draymond was great, but he's no longer can't score and all the other stuff that he does, look, if he doesn't smoke a layup against the Memphis Grizzlies, they play in the playoffs this year. There's still a lack of offense there. But I think it's interesting. There's 2 teams in the Bay that all people consider, when healthy, championship caliber rosters. Right, that was Golden State going back a couple years ago. That was the San Francisco 49ers going back a year ago. Nick Bosa is that sort of game changer, but they also are, like, now they're in the process of, do we change quarterbacks mid-year? You know, do we trade Garoppolo before the season? Or do we ride with Garoppolo and then, just like the Chiefs rode with Alex Smith for a year, and then we bid adieu and we start the Trey Lance era? Like, but both are in really interesting, obviously the Niners further along because we've had the draft, we've had free agency, we've had them retool, they went out and got a quarterback. But it is really interesting that the Warriors and Niners, and by the way, the Warriors actually play in San Francisco, the Niners don't, but that regardless of it. You know, funny, the Warriors, they still kind of claim Oakland even though they don't play in Oakland. The Niners claim San Francisco, they don't play in San Francisco. Anyway. But Steph Curry, and we can't take everything that a guy says at an event where every quote that could be negative, they'll take. And he's just too smart. He's not giving you anything negative. But I read into what he's saying, and he's like, look, we got options. We'll take free agents. We got draft picks we can trade. We got some pieces we may want to move. But we're not far away. And I kind of think he's right. Kind of think about it. They went from the worst team in the NBA to a 8th place playoff team. And they still didn't have Klay Thompson. They had a rookie center who didn't go through training camp. And they had all kinds of moving parts, as did everybody else throughout the season. I kind of think he's right. But I also think it speaks to Steph Curry's not going anywhere. There was some sort of discussion that LeBron was befriending him so that he'd force his way out of, like, The Warriors would do a lot of things. They're never going to trade or let Steph Curry go, and especially let him go to the Lakers. I don't see that being even close to an option. There are some things you don't do, and I understand Kevin Durant going to the Warriors, but again, how is that looked at? How is that looked at? Yes, Ryan.
I got to disagree with you. I don't see them, aside from making some blockbuster move that would catch us all by surprise, I think the window is more closed than open on the Warriors right now. I mean, we think of the Warriors dynasty as just coming to an end a couple of seasons ago, but they've also, the only reason they extended that dynasty was because they got Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's also gone. So we're 5 years removed from that 73-win season, which they didn't end up winning the title, but we know that that was still part of their peak. So we're 5 years removed from it being the Steph, Clay, and Draymond show. I think Clay Thompson, here's the problem that I have with Clay Thompson. I don't totally disagree with you that he can't come back and still be an effective player. But after missing basically two full seasons of basketball,
I mean, Kevin Durant missed a season and a half of basketball,
but even
one injury,
right? But even he, I don't know if this is the right word, but even he got like lucky in a sense that like the Nets had so much talent on that team. Like Kevin Durant was hurt during the regular season, he missed a good amount of time during the regular season. Sure. Now, whether that had anything to do with his Achilles injury or whatever. So, like, if I'm the Warriors,
let me go a little further into it. Okay, one thing that I think we've so the Warriors, and part of it is you and I have worked together. So, and I don't know if everyone who's listening to Colin's show knows this, but I've said it on Colin's show. Like, everyone believes that Kevin Durant needed the Warriors to win a championship. The truth is, the Warriors needed Kevin Durant, maybe even worse, because people had kind of figured out. And they played small ball before small ball was cool, and teams were starting to adjust. And though they're still very unique with multiple ball handlers and Steph Curry's ability to play on and off the basketball, and they ran fewer ball screens than everybody else, the fact is the league did kind of catch up to them, right? Then they add Durant, and it didn't really matter. He could just sheer force of will, they were too good. I think, though, that like things that we're not talking about, okay, so the Clippers beat the Utah Jazz. How'd they beat the Utah Jazz? They played small. Rudy Gobert, who's a great defender against bigs and defending the rim, they couldn't find a place to stick him. So you still have to have the ability to play small, but as we're watching with all of the other series, and DeAndre Ayton, the Joker, I mean, look, Utah's still going to be competitive. I even think you're going to need some versatility. I think Anthony Davis is going to start at center next year for the Lakers. So you're going to still need a big guy. They have, and I don't know if Wiseman's good enough. If he's not good enough, and they don't see it, or they think it's too long, by the time he's good enough, Clay and Steph will be too old. That's possible. Maybe they move on from there. But they do have a big guy. So they do have at least the makings of it. You do have a superstar in a Steph who has shown he can carry a roster. You do have, I mean, look, if Klay Thompson is close to what he used to be with Andrew Wiggins and with Kelly Oubre, like that's not a terrible roster. And if they move some of those pieces to get one more piece, now all of a sudden they do have something special. Like if you don't like the Warriors, tell me who do you like? You like the Lakers? They're kind of a dysfunctional mess and they don't have a lot of flexibility. You know, do you like the Nuggets? Like, okay. Like I like, I mean, I think they're obviously going to be much better with Jamal Murray. But again, Jamal Murray's coming off an ACL. Kawhi Leonard's coming off an ACL. Like all these guys, and they haven't been off a year with the ACL the way that Clay has. So it's not necessarily you don't like the Warriors. Okay, who do you like? Do you like the Suns long term? Okay, you know, Chris Paul is going to be 37 years old and they haven't suffered any debilitating injuries. You know, so if you don't like the Warriors, who do you love in the West?
I would say I do think that Suns are headed in the right direction. It will be interesting to see Chris Paul 3 years from now may not be a great situation for them, depending on where they re-sign him or whatever. But I do think Chris Paul next year could keep them in a very legitimate contention spot. I think the Clippers are absolutely going to be another great team. I mean, you know, fingers crossed on Kawhi Leonard, but I think they'll be very, very good. And then the other team, I would say it's probably still a little early, but I think the Grizzlies are a very fun team, a very good young team that could be maybe not quite to where the Suns are right now, because I do think that they need like another sort of veteran player. But I think the Grizzlies are a great young team, and if Ja Morant continues to progress, they could be solid. And then, of course, the Lakers.
They're going to be better than the Warriors?
You know, I mean, they were very close last year to being better than the Warriors.
Yeah, but that's without Klay Thompson.
I agree, but I think they are close. I think the Warriors are better, but I think the Grizzlies are becoming a competitive team. And then that's not even counting the Mavericks, which I don't think these aren't all teams that I can definitively say are better than the Warriors, but they're all, if not on par, only slightly behind. Like, the Warriors were so far and away the best team in the West when they were the dynasty. Like, that's what I'm saying, is they're nowhere near close.
Yes, but also you have to remember, it coincided with the end of the Kobe Bryant era, right? The Lakers were, Kobe was hurt, Kobe was too old, it was too big a contract, he couldn't get free agents to go there. Remember that, right? So it did coincide with that window. The Suns were way down. The Jazz have retooled, the Nuggets have retooled. I mean, you have to think about like how much things have changed. It was Oklahoma City and it was San Antonio, and those were the two kind of and the Clippers. And look, San Antonio, they played big. They couldn't guard him playing small. The Clippers, remember, they had Blake and they had DeAndre Jordan. They couldn't guard him playing when they played small. So you have to remember, at the time in which they had their rise, other teams were down. That does happen. That helps you. You're not wrong. It's a really competitive environment. But if you say this year they were a playoff team and they had a rookie center, they didn't have Klay Thompson the whole year. If you add in Klay Thompson and you reconfigure some stuff, and if nothing else, you bring back Wiseman in year two, they're going to be substantially better than they were in year one. All right, coming up next, I have bad news for one NFL team. They think they're close to a Super Bowl contention. I do not. Tell you who that is next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You ever notice something? Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. You ever notice that teams are always only a couple of plays from winning more games, never from losing more? I'll prove it in a second. If Jersey Mike's turkey had a resume, it would say 99% fat-free and raised without antibiotics, but their turkey already has a dream job at Jersey Mike's, because premium meat makes a sub above. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. We do this in, obviously many of you know that I've covered college basketball for a long time, and we always do this around Selection Sunday, where you'll have people that'll say, well, shot goes in here, shot goes in there. You know, they're like two shots away from, you know, winning their league. They should be in the NCAA tournament. We always do that. Or we always say, like, hey, look, the Nets were Kevin Durant's foot away from going to the NBA finals. Well, the truth is that Kevin Durant made a miraculous shot. Otherwise, doesn't really matter where his foot is, you know? We only look at the absolute positive or best possible outcome, never the worst possible outcome. Okay, so stick with me for a second, because I saw, and part of it is Derek Carr, who usually doesn't have anything interesting to say, has had a couple of fairly interesting things to say. So Derek Carr said this: we were 3 or 4 plays away from having 12 or 11 wins, literally 3 plays. We're so close, especially we feel so confident on the offensive side with all the weapons that you mentioned and all those kinds of things. Now adding Gus Bradley and Yannick, that's Ngakoue, And the different guys we've added to our defense, I mean, we're kind of excited to say the least. We're looking forward to the season. Okay, so look, Gus Bradley, who, you know, he's been the head coach in Jacksonville. He did a good job in with the Chargers in L.A. It should be pointed out that if you want to take shots at what he did with the Chargers, he didn't have Derwin James at all last year. Right? Might be the best defensive player in football. You don't have him. It dramatically changes you. Didn't have him for half of the previous year. But here's the bigger point. Were they three or four plays away from winning 11 or 12 games? Okay. It should be pointed out that they trailed the Carolina Panthers until a late drive to win 34-30. That's the first win of the season. They beat the Chargers in a really close game where the Chargers had a late lead, and they kicked a field goal with 4 minutes to go to beat the Chargers 31-26. Okay. They beat Denver at the end of the season by a point when neither team had anything to play for. They beat the Jets by 3 points on December 6th when the Jets were trying to lose games. The bigger point is this. Is Derek Carr technically right? They're three or four plays away from winning 11 or 12 games? Sure. Would I technically be right if I said they're three or four plays away from, instead of winning 8 games, winning 5? Yes. Yes. You know? I mean, look, they started with a murderer's row schedule. Carolina, obviously, was a game you had to win. Then New Orleans, they lost to New England, but that was early in the year. They lost to Buffalo. They lost to Kansas City. They lost to Tampa. Those are all Cleveland. Those are all playoff teams they beat, Cleveland. You know? I mean, they played a very, very tough schedule at the start of the year, and that beats you up. And they obviously feel like they can retool their offensive line. That's what they've done, and they've tried to change their defense. But we never do that. We never do the, hey, you're just a couple plays away from winning 12 games. Yeah, you're a couple plays away from winning 12 games. You're a couple plays away from winning 5, too, dude. That's what an 8-8 team does, right? That's what, basically, is it the median or the mean? Which is it where you take away the top one, you take away the bottom one, and whatever the average of whatever's left? Is that the median or the mean? Music, do you know? Which is the median and which is the mean? And I always get that confused.
I don't know, but
median, mean, and mode, right? There's also the mode. Okay, the mean is a data set by adding all the numbers in the data set, then dividing this. That's average. The
right.
Median is the middle number when the data set is ordered from least to greatest, and the mode is the number that occurs the most often. So which is it? I'm really confused. I forget. Anybody know? Should have paid
attention. I think it's like mean, but a different sort of version of it in which you try to throw out the outliers and then still find the average.
Right. Right. So the outlier for them, for the Raiders last year, right, the outlier, would that be the Kansas City win or the New Orleans win? You know?
I think you'd say both, but...
Okay. Okay. And then the outlier loss, let's say it's Miami.
Definitely Miami. They should not have lost that game.
Okay. So Miami. So you throw those out. You throw those out, and what are they? They're 7-7. They're this is what average teams do. It's like people are like, well, you know, if Paul George was more consistent, he'd be a superstar. Well, that's why Paul George isn't a superstar. You know? The superstars do it 9 nights in 10. The stars do it 6 or 7 nights in 10. The solid guys do it 3 nights in 10. And the rest of the guys, they just, I do what I do well and stay away, right? That's what, it's the same thing with the best teams win those close games. Okay, they win. They don't have, they end up, all of those close ones, they find a way to win. Or they win 9 out of 10. And the average teams win 5 out of 10. They win some that they should lose, and they lose some that they should win. That's the definition of an average team. An 8-8, especially 7-7. If you take out the median mead mode, whatever, the top and the bottom, they're the picture of mediocrity. And by the way, mediocrity is a word that we always use to say it have a negative connotation, but mediocrity is average. It's right there in the middle. But my bigger thing is, like, everyone you've ever heard talk about, well, we were this close away. If we got this one guy, if that one shot went in, like, okay, but I'm sure during the year or during a playoff run, there was a shot that went in that shouldn't have gone in, right? Just like there's a shot that didn't go in that should go in. I think I'm making sense. It all upstairs, Ryan, it all makes sense. Sometimes it doesn't make sense when it comes actually out of your mouth. All right, let's get to Ryan Music with the Herdline News.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Big soccer weekend as well.
It is.
I'm seriously, you got Argentina versus, who are they playing?
Brazil.
Brazil, right? Mm-hmm. So the Battle of South America, and then you had the Battle of Europe with England taking on
Italy,
the Azzurri.
That's correct.
The Azzurri. It's cool.
A couple of quick points to pick up where you left off there on the Raiders. Don't forget that Jets, what ended up being a win over the Jets, was the great Greg Williams all-out blitz with almost no time left. So that absolutely should have been a loss for them as well.
Right. But have you ever noticed that, right? Like, nobody ever mentions that. They always say we're this close to success. Yes, you were also this close to failure.
Yeah, and also in terms of adding Yannick Ngakoue, I think he's a good player and everything, but here's the defense in points per game in the 3 years since John Gruden's been head coach. Dead last, 24th, and 30th. Yeah, well, I mean,
that's why they changed. I mean, like, look, they changed defense coordinators. They've changed some personnel. Yannick Ngakoue, I know it's his fourth team in like 2 years, but he is
he's a good player.
Very good pass rusher, and now they have a tandem of good pass rushers.
Yeah, I think my general point is just that I agree with you in that they're not a couple of plays away and they're not a player or two away.
If you want to be honest about their division, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Justin Herbert's in year two. He's going to be better. Okay, he's going to be better. Obviously, they had to fix their offensive line, which is they're constantly trying to fix, but they think they've got that solved. Meanwhile, defensively, you bring back Joey Bosa. And now you have Derwin James, like, just Derwin James or Yannick Ngakoue. Derwin James is a better player in terms of additions.
Yeah.
The Chargers should be better than last year. The Kansas City Chiefs, last year was the year in which they were decimated by injuries in their offensive line. They should be as good as they were last year. Why wouldn't they be? And then the Denver Broncos, still a quarterback away, but the rest of the roster is shaping up pretty nice. Like, everyone in that division, on paper, seems to have gotten better. What's to make you think that a Raiders team that had to retool their offensive line and added one or two defensive pieces and completely changing schemes is going to be that much better when everybody else is trying to get better?
All great points. We'll do this first story here. Sticking in the AFC West, as you mentioned, those Kansas City Chiefs did lose in the Super Bowl, their second of the back-to-back Super Bowls that they have played in, winning the first one. Travis Kelce says that this team has got a ton of motivation coming off that loss. Talking to the NFL Network, that was pretty embarrassing, man, taking a loss like that down in Tampa. If you're not motivated after taking a shellacking like that, I don't know what's wrong with you. I want to go win one more than I ever have, and to get one in the first place, that's everyone inside this building, man. So a little extra motivation for the Chiefs after a bit of a butt kicking that they took in the Super Bowl versus Tampa Bay.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt that they're motivated to fix this thing, and that, you know, you have a window, whatever the window is with Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Pat Mahomes, you want to take advantage of it. But there is a long history of teams that lose in the Super Bowl struggling to get back to that level. The difference is the Chiefs should have gone to the Super Bowl 3 years ago, did go to the Super Bowl and won it 2 years ago. And, you know, if not for injuries, you would have felt like would have been much more competitive in the Super Bowl last year. That's Ryan Music with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herdline News.
Did you see me announce yesterday that I'm going to coach in TBT, Ryan? It's the basketball tournament. And you get people that are like, is that the G League team? Like, No. Not changing what I do. The Doug Gottlieb Show is daily, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific. It's called the Basketball Tournament, TBT, and the winners get $1 million. Yeah, I mean, pretty sweet, right? So maybe I could rent one of those places that Colin stays at when he vacations and posts photos of it. Anyway, I'm going to get a chance to do that. That's going to be like next weekend. But here's the crazy part. I mean, I don't know if it's crazy or whatever. So I also have an AAU program. And I'll coach, you know, little kids. I have 11 to 14 years old. So the coach, actually, of the team we're playing, against is called Team Enchantment. Land of Enchantment is New Mexico. It's mostly players that played at the University of New Mexico. Right. So what's interesting is the guy who's coaching that team, I actually coached against in AAU, and one time we beat him like on a buzzer shot, and he was like, it'd be super, super fun. Super fun. Of course, now I'm like on the shelf, injured, gonna be hobbling around there on the sidelines trying to win $1 million. Actually, I'm not gonna win $1 million. I need the players to win $1 million for me. All right, coming up next, I suffered an unfortunate injury yesterday, and there is nothing like that moment when you feel old. Right? You may be young at heart, but there is going to be a moment in your life when you feel old. I felt it yesterday. When did you feel it? We discuss next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you can get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb for Colin. This is The Herd, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio app. Colin back Monday, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, yada, yada, yada. Okay, so done a little self-exam of my left knee, and I'm thinking it's either a lateral meniscus or an LCL tear or something. It may be the ACL, maybe, because it hurts like hurts like hell in the middle as well, but who knows? So I've never been hurt before. Now, I have done the throw out the rib in the, you know, like sneezing or yawning or whatever, right? But I just, last night I'm playing basketball, and, you know, I kind of pride myself on like I can still kind of bounce around, and I don't move as quickly as I used to, but I'm still pretty fluid and never been hurt. And it was not great hoop. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and like, oh, this is real high level stuff. It was not high level stuff. So in your mind, you're like, just don't get hurt. You know, in my mind works, win the game and don't get hurt. Those two things in that order. So, you know, I kept getting the ball like in transition, and I would either shoot a three or get a layup, whatever. And a guy kind of challenged me, and I go by him, and there's another guy at the basket, you know, like comes over for like real kind of help defense. And the, you know, the two things you can do are stop and shoot, mid-range pull up. Or what's even easier is like I'm dribbling my left hand. You kind of jump to your right, like a cross by the basket, throw it in off the backboard, and you get 2 points, which is what I intended to do. I plant on my left foot to jump across to my right, and I hear a pop, and it feels like my knee ripped apart, right? And I'm laying there, and I feel like the oldest human being on earth. Because playing, and when you're moving, like when you're moving twice as fast as other dudes on a basketball court, and you know you're younger than some other guys in a basketball court, like it makes you feel good. You feel young. You feel alive. And then I went and played golf, and I have friends I was going to play tennis with this weekend. And then you're like, you know, when you do sports and you're like, I feel very much young and virile. The world wants to make you feel old. You look at old pictures of yourself like, I used to have more hair. I used to be better looking. So for maybe it's the juxtaposition of how young I felt previous to that. I'm not huffing and puffing. These other guys are dying. I'm moving around. These other guys. So to the now all of a sudden I can't move. But God, that's just one of those Nobody touched you. Nobody got in your way. You just did it to yourself. You feel like the oldest human being on earth. So here's what I threw out to you on social media. Tell me the worst dad injury you've suffered. You know, the worst dad injury you've suffered. Ryan Music is monitoring the Twitter machine. He is not old. He has no ability to kind of relate to these sorts of things.
That's not true. I do have one from a couple years ago. I play in beach volleyball tournaments every so often over the summertime, and got to the finals and full leg cramps. Had to forfeit the match about 3 points into the finals. Couldn't play anymore.
And hurt?
I just had full leg cramps. Couldn't play. And I've never been one.
Hydrated? Were you playing all day? What
happened? Yeah. So you have to play matches throughout the day. But like I had up to that point have been doing that for, you know, almost 10 years of playing beach volleyball. And I've never been, because some people are prone to getting cramps. I've never been a cramp guy. I have never dealt with cramps. It's never been an issue for me. But apparently in my older age now, I need to overhydrate and eat bananas all day, every day leading up to the tournament to prevent cramping. So that was my can't just go out and play anymore. Need to stretch, need to get lots of rest, need to stay properly hydrated. Otherwise, I can't make it through a full day of beach volleyball. But yes, we have tons of great submissions. So I'm going to read through some of our favorite ones. Thank you to everyone who's tweeting in. We'll try to get to most of them, but here are the best ones. This comes from Heath Weissman. Ruptured my plantar fascia when I came down with a rebound and planted my foot hard to try and drive to the basket. Oh, I forgot to mention I was playing against my daughter and her friend, both 14 years old.
Yeah, it's when they're around. You know, it's interesting, as I was driving to this game and I was a little late getting into the gym or whatever, and I was driving there thinking like, oh, I should have grabbed one of my daughters. Like, they've never seen me play basketball. My son saw me play at the celebrity event, whatever. Like, that would be cool. And then I'm thinking like, how good was that they weren't there? Although still, you come back hobbling to them and they just look at you like, you're old. Why did you try and do that? All right. So give me another one. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, but do you still, cause you coach. So like when you're coaching your son, do you get out and like play with them a little or? Okay.
Yes.
So
yes.
They've sort of seen you play, but.
No, my daughters haven't. My son, he knows, you know.
Okay.
He knows the deal.
You'll be able to relate to this one. This comes from Rendell Mann. Cracked my rib because my 14-year-old said he wanted to spar.
Yeah, that's once they can beat you up, that's a really deflating.
You're not there yet, right? You're
no,
still,
but
yeah.
But he'll do the I want to box, and then he'll like pop you, like what are you doing? What? No, but I'm not there. He's still a little sucker. No, he can't. He can't hurt me. There was a time in which he was wrestling when we lived in Connecticut last time. We lived in Westport, Connecticut, and he got into wrestling. He did a season of wrestling. It was really, really fun. And we got wrestling mats for the basement. And I'll never forget, like, one time I like rolled and pinned him and he got kind of pinned underneath me. And I was like, I forgot, like, dude, you're like 50 pounds. That's a super bad idea to be doing this.
We do have one of those. This comes from at Ryan Ottinger. Suffered a black eye from a Father's Day wrestling exhibition. So
it's going to happen. Yeah. Somebody's going to get, it's coming. It's like your mom always tells you, like, somebody's going to get hurt. And somebody always does get hurt, whether it's two teenage boys or a dad and a son. You know, I mean, like, look, we usually, the one-on-one thing usually leads to an argument. And, and so we establish rules where it allows him to be more competitive. Even allows him to win a little bit. You know, I can't block a shot. I only get two dribbles. He gets like five dribbles, you know. So not blocking a shot, and he gets threes and I don't get threes, you know, whatever. So all of those things make it really difficult, but that's what it always leads to, usually to an argument or to an injury. Argument or an injury. All right, give me one more.
Okay. I think this one was my favorite one, probably overall. This comes from at Jim Barbary. Strained my lower back trying to get off the couch too quick when I saw my son in the other room playing with the blinds.
Wait, what happened? He strained his back doing what?
Trying to get off the couch too quick when I saw
he's like hopped up? Yeah, you like hop up or you go, what the? And you're like, oh my back. That's what I'm talking about, that whole throwing out a rib thing.
Oh, man.
Like, look, chiropractors are not doctors. Sorry, chiropractors who are listening, right? Somebody's suffering some sort of medical incident on a plane, you go, is there a doctor in the plane? The chiropractor's not going to go up and go, I got you. Right? Like, no. Okay. But I will tell you that of all the doctors that you need, like a chiropractor, when you have a rib out, oh my, you will pay. There's no amount of money that you will not pay to have your back adjusted because you can't breathe. Now, the problem with the chiropractor is they're going to have put you on a program. They're going to x-ray you, tell you you have scoliosis and all the other stuff. But yes, I do. I feel their pain.
We have William Crabtree. I'm 37. 2 weeks ago, I cracked a rib trying to go down a water slide. Just trying to have a good time.
I do love water slides. I took my son.
I know. You got to be careful out there, Doug.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is like I'm still at the good adult age where I still enjoy roller coasters. Like some people, you get to an age where it makes you dizzy. I still enjoy roller coasters, still enjoy water parks. I enjoy it. Like that next phase, if I get battered up, that I do not. We'll get this thing healed up. Going to go see Dr. Andy Carrick and get this thing healed up. Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. You got one more?
Last one here from Charlie. Threw my back out, unloading the dishwasher. It looked like a sniper got me. Sorry, Charlie. Good work, though, doing the dishes. That's nice.
Yeah, I've been doing that. But that's why you don't do the dishes. This is a... have you ever... Well, you're married now, right? Like, this is in the early months of marriage, make sure you don't fold clothes well. Make sure you don't... The things you don't want to do, don't do them or don't do them well. You know, this is the old adage when you have children. Don't do once what you don't want to do 1,000 times. It's the same thing being a, you know, with your spouse. Don't do once. If you show them that, oh, no, I like folding, it's fine. The rest of your relationship, you're going to be the guy who folds clothes. I want to play for you something really quickly, which has become viral. It's Monty Williams talking to DeAndre Ayton last night. Take a listen to this audio conversation.
Here's the deal. One, we're getting back in transition. You don't have Giannis, find a man and be a guard. Two, look at me. You set a high level for yourself. That's why you're down. That's great. Now go reach that level. Okay? And you can reach it with force. Doesn't have to be stats all the time. Go dominate the game with force. Okay? Because you set a high level for yourself. Go dominate the game with force.
Okay, so there's a bunch to it. Obviously, it's a great moment for Monty Williams, who's shown himself to be an unbelievable coach and mentor to these players. But coming up next, I want to discuss this, right? It's Chris Paul and Tom Brady and what they have in common and how it relates to Monty Williams next in The Herd.